Hey, it's Ralph here. Q1 is now closing and it probably didn't go as well as you had hoped, but I'm sure your agency is probably telling you that they crushed it. But in reality, it crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you are, if there's something wrong, but you can't quite put your finger on what that thing is, go on over to tier11.com/apply and we'll set you up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business. Not just metrics that make us agencies look good, but something that actually moves the needle and makes you more money, acquires more new customers, and ultimately achieves your vision. Head on over to tier11.com/apply today. Hello and welcome to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast. This is the show where we talk about why ROAS sucks and why nobody uses this one metric that we're going to be talking about here today with John Moran. And we do not talk about the 9,999 different filaments that Thomas Edison used that did not light up the incandescent light bulb. I am Ralph Burns, the founder of Tier 11. And today I'm alongside part two here with new Tier 11 employee and chief strategist at Tier 11, John Moran, formerly of Solutions 8. He has come over to the Tier 11 team. He's come over to the dark side. We have unified the forces of Meta, Google, and any other platform that John and the strategy team cares to use and leverage to help scale and grow businesses. And we're going to be talking more about exactly what he does differently as not only a media buyer and not only as a Google guy, because that is the wrong way to think about John Moran, even though I think he is known on LinkedIn and through YouTube and a lot of different places online as a Google guy. He is, I would say, the best, I wouldn't even say full funnel marketer. I think he just understands the high level of multi-channel marketing, media mix modeling, and how all the different platforms work together cohesively to grow and scale businesses, which he does so well, as well as understands the fundamentals of business, which is why we're so excited to have him on board. Finally at Tier 11, it's been a 3-year recruiting process. Today's show, we're going to be getting into more screen shares with him about some of the things that he's doing and different ways for you to look at data in order to grow your business. Ultimately, by measuring that with how many dollars you have in your bank account, how many dollars you have in your Shopify store, how many dollars you have inside your CRM, how many new customers you've acquired, because ROAS can be manipulated. Return on ad spend, if you don't know what that is, it can be manipulated. And today we're going to be talking about why return on ad spend is a false metric. Why ROAS sucks. It really does as a metric for figuring out how to scale and grow your business online, especially when it comes to paid advertising. Yeah, it factors in, but the most important things that you need to look at are the things that we're going to be talking about here today. And there's one metric that nobody talks about that John will divulge here on today's show that really is the thing that drives your business forward. And it's not seen in any specific ad platform. So we're going to get into some screen sharing here today. So if you're not over on our YouTube channel, I highly encourage you to listen to this. If you're in the car and then, or on a walk, walking your dog. I know a lot of people like listen to us walking their dog in the morning, which is so awesome. But if you are doing that, and you want more of a visual representation, make sure that you head over to our YouTube channel. It's perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. And you can see the screen shares that we're going to be talking about here through today's show. As much as we try to explain it in an audio format, it's much better seen visually over on YouTube. So without further ado, here is yours truly with John Moran on part two on why ROAS sucks and the one metric you're probably not using to grow your business.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wouters and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
So we looked at the last few years, and we saw that Meta kept pushing a little bit harder. And it hit a point of diminishing return, and it became not profitable. So the client was upset. Now, this is a consulting client, so I had one call, or I've had two calls with this client. One was to get the lay of the land and do the hours worth of research in order to figure out what happened. And then 1 hour to rebuild the campaigns inside of Google. And now the person's kind of just off and onto their own. So I didn't have necessarily a chance to look inside of Meta too much. It was just on a screen share. But what was happening was Meta was going after, they didn't have exclusions. They didn't necessarily have, it was just, hey, spend on whatever Meta wants to spend kind of thing. And then Google was like, all right, because it's performance max, spend on whatever Google wants to spend. So it was just kind of two ships passing in the night, but also crashing into each other and not realizing it. So the Meta spend just kind of kept scaling and then didn't really push the bottom line. And then when they pull back 40% year over year from February to February, there wasn't a reduction in that overall revenue. That's what we looked at is Meta was, it was non-targeted spend and non-excluded spend that just kept growing. And when it pulled back, it was like, okay, it's probably going out on like sites or Advantage Plus was just kind of like spending it to whoever they wanted to spend on. It wasn't actually going towards prospecting. So what we did is said, hold tight on Meta. Don't do anything on Meta. We want to change Google first and see how that reacts. Because while you never want to think of Google versus Meta, you also want to know that when you're going from warm, irrelevant audiences to good, proper, cold traffic with quality items, you do want to measure that change. And then next, do the same thing on Meta and see how that doubles down on that. And then talk about scaling is using omnichannel, using the same amount of ad spend increases per platform, regardless of what their levels are at, which means if Meta's doing 70 grand and Google's doing 30 and you want to scale, add 20% to both channels equally. You don't want to interrupt the lifecycle path of the customer journey. You just want to amplify it. So that would be phase like three. But this first phase was what channel do we go through first? And because this is a in-demand type of product that does have a great amount of inbound search, it was just very easy to clean up Google first.
Yeah. They kept Meta, in essence, the same. You wanted to change the one variable and see how that would be impacted.
Yeah. If we go after cold traffic, it would detach Google from Meta and turn Google into a prospecting network and not a regurgitation of semi-poor Meta traffic, what happens? It goes after new customers and it does grow and it does scale. That's fixed. Now we have to fix Meta. And then once those both are fixed, you can then start to scale both equally. Yeah. But it's kind of, you know, two underperforming channels, fix one, see how it works. If it's fixed, fix the other one, see if that's fixed as well, and then scale both.
And that's why it's so vital to have, in this case, it's more like you're consulting on the other side, but you change one thing and then you see what the effect is. And another important part to this that I think I don't want to lose this in the translation here is that the 80-20 of marketing, like the Pareto principle of put your best, most profitable products in front of those cold traffic audiences, especially the ones that you know are your best sellers. Like it's just, I don't even know if that idea unto itself is something that a lot of businesses even think of. Like how many SKUs does this company have in total? Dozens or is it thousands or is it hundreds?
Yeah, I'm still in it. So this is actually 764.
Okay. So out of those, the 80-20 is, let's say it's 100 products, maybe 50.
Yeah, it's about 80-something, yep.
80-something, yeah. Okay, somewhere in there. And that shift just on its own, taking that out of Performance Max, which I don't know as if we've had you on. Well, we have actually had you on talking about Performance Max because you were all about Performance Max years ago. And you know,
it is still fantastic for specific use cases.
Yeah.
But if you fill it up with junk meta traffic, you can't scale it.
Yeah. Because it'll just retarget on brand, really.
Retarget junk traffic and only show up for brand. And then it learns off of that. So there's so many different moving parts and pieces. Do you want to see the irony of this? I made it my golden rule to never have a digital marketing golden rule. so
it changes. Yeah.
It's so unique. It's use. And people are, they always ask me, John, what's the best way to do this? John, what's the best way to do that? I'm like, I don't have an hour to go through every scenario specifically to your business.
Right.
And that's what's interesting. There is no what is the best. What is the best is finding the best campaign hierarchy and structure on each channel for that businesses. It's like, is it over $300 or under $300? Is it impulse buy or is it not? What's the sales cycle? Mm-hmm. Do they return? How often do they return? Do you have influencers that are driving a whole bunch of traffic that Performance Max and Advantage Plus are going to remarket?
So many variables.
Exactly. There's 1,000 variables I can think of where it's like the best is for that use case, the best would be this, but it's vastly different for another business.
Same type of customer, different industry with a different background. All of a sudden, you might do something completely different than what we just shared on screen.
Right. I think this is, I want to go back a little bit to what you said is when it was like the driving the most amount of traffic to the proper product. I almost would say that most businesses do think that way. The good ones do. And a lot of people that are in positions of power will still sing that from the mountaintops. Team, we need to get the traffic to these products. The problem is agencies may not necessarily do that if they seem good, quote unquote, ROAS.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we're getting a 5X. Do we really want to do what that guy says? Well, yeah, that's the owner of the company. He built it and now he's here or she's here because of what they know what to do. But your ROAS is going to stop that. And if you make these changes and you see the ROAS dips down 40% or whatever it just dipped on me, you're going to panic and switch back. And then you're going to tell the boss, hey, sorry, you know, sir, ma'am, like what you want is wrong. So that's what's interesting is it's just measurement. But a lot of times, yeah, if you actually put the ad spend towards the products that have built the company and measure differently and do it omni-channel, wow, what a novel idea. Like let's drive traffic to a good product that sells.
Right. Right. When a lot of clients come to us, I can think of multiple examples here. They say, all right, well, here's our strategy. This is what we're doing. And then when I was doing this day in and day out, I'd be like, all right, well, if you want to market your company, give me a list of your best-selling products and your most profitable ones. So your best sellers, the most popular, ideally least competition plus highest net operating income, gross profitability, contribution margin, you know, name your metric. Like those are the ones that matter the most because I can get an 800% ROAS on a $7 product that you make a buck on.
Right.
You know, and look like a hero, but that doesn't move your business forward. So I think that just unto itself, these are a little bit more involved concepts that have nothing to do with traffic, but it's just decision-making and understanding the business. And my sense is that with this customer, it's probably one of the first things that you asked is, let's 80-20 this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The shocking thing, if you're running Google Ads right now, or if you're even your own business, hop into your Google Ads account as an example. Before you click on a campaign, just click product. Click your product list. It'll show you all the products that are all marketed in all campaigns. Sort descending by cost, not conversions, not conversion rate, not ROAS. Sort descending by cost. Look at the five cost products there and say
cost of that
ad spend.
Okay, ad spend. Got it.
That's Yeah. So when you sort descending by cost, that'll tell you what the ad spend is being spent on. So when you sort descending by cost, ask yourself, are these the five products that I should be spending the majority of my ad spend on? Right there, I would guess half of everybody here that would try this would probably look at this and say, oh, you know what? Crap. I shouldn't be spending the majority of my ad spend on these five products. Right there, you know that you have a structure problem for your business, period. That's it. I don't care what the ROAS is. I don't care anything. That is a structural issue in your business. Especially if it's Performance Max, you have very little control over. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah. It is. Do you factor in that question about best-selling plus most profitable. Ultimately, at the end of the day, like, we want to be able to scale and grow businesses, and you don't do that necessarily just by top-line growth, but you really are looking at, and every business has this differently. We've had customers set it up inside Meta, for example, like, I don't even care about what the retail price is. I just want to know what the contribution margin is. We alter our conversion value or net profitability, like net operating income. Like, I want to know exactly what I net on everything. Are those the types of conversations that agencies should be having with businesses just to begin with? Because for me, when I'm talking to my team, it's like, I care about gross profitability, I care about net operating income, I care about customer centricity, which feeds all of that. But those are the types of conversations that I don't think a whole lot of agencies really have in this day and age.
No, like, no, not at all. And that's the part that just is shocking to me. Here's a great example. This is one that we don't even necessarily need to blur. This is a company that I'm a small equity owner in.
Another screen share fun with John Moran here.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
So I'll do this here. And this is the part where it gets real fun. And I'll actually share two examples on this part. Let's do this period here. If we look at this time period here, which is just February 1st to the 21st, you'll see something here that we have net quantity sorting descending.
We are in Shopify now. We're in the back end of Shopify, which is one of the things that John typically looks at first, because that's what kind of matters. It's where the money's collected.
This is what you should be doing necessarily before you even start marketing.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, if you have any sort of sales.
Before you spend any dollars. So it's funny,
yeah. I know. Yeah. If you're not doing this, you skipped a step.
Yeah. You might want to watch this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're looking at like what products have what sort of profit margin. And I think we started this on the 25th. So this is the kind of after. It's 54% profit margin, where I think if it just take 2 weeks before that was at 52. So what's funny is when we look at this beef cheek roll here had a 62% profit margin, had 27 sales. And then I think here, for example, this beef cheek roll now has 46 sales. So it went from 27 to 46. We just changed some Meta ads and we drove our gross margin from 52% up to 54% in 2 weeks. We're like, excellent. What changed? We just changed the Meta ad of what we're marketing to a more profitable product. Whoa, like groundbreaking novel idea. Like, holy crap.
And for our listeners that may not know the difference between gross contribution and net. In your case here, gross margin is what specifically for this customer?
Yeah. So this is just our net sales of the products minus the COGS, what it costs for us to manufacture and ship the product out.
Right. So that is gross profit, just for those of you who are not familiar with some of these accounting terms, which are kind of important terms. If you're an agency and you don't know this shit, you should get an accounting book or read something on it. Anyway, I digress. You were rolling there. So going up from 52 to 54, pretty nice increase. Yeah, in about 12 days.
Yeah. What's interesting is actually, I'll do this here. I'm going to pull up that Meta account. And you want to know what's funny is this is a fairly small account. I mean, we're just doing stuff. And this is all fake. That's not actually what they call tofu mofu. So for listeners that can't see my screen, I'm just taking a campaign that was already running and just changing around what happened internally. Mm-hmm. But all we did here is you see everything else was shut off here. And we just started marketing those beef cheeks. And it's literally just one ad inside the beef cheek. And the beef cheek, what we did is say, hey, are you a person who is a website visitor? Well, you're excluded. Has bought anything ever? Well, you're excluded as well. So if you ever heard about us or been to our website, you're not allowed to see my ads anymore. Yeah. And when we did that, now a beef cheek roll is...
It's not perfect by any stretch. Oh, no. But at least you're doing that right there. If you're not, it's the biggest mistake we see on all Meta accounts, John.
Yeah. Well, reason why this one was so bad and the reason why we took this such a harsh approach is because Meta was spending about 60% of its attributed sales to existing customers. Yeah. And when we said, hey, before we start to build out everything, like people who have interacted with the ads and all those downstream things that after the first prospecting, we're spending 100% of our money on prospecting right now. We have zero remarketing, which again is a failure, but it's to reset the account. Because once I start filling it up with people who have started to interact with my ads for the first time, now I can kind of move into also who are the people I've interacted with the ads or have been to the websites and built my remarketing, that kind of stuff. So I had to reset the account. But in doing so, I just did it to most profitable products. And what's nice about this is here's a good example of when you're thinking about omnichannel, the right audience is spending the right amount of money on the right products. The before and after change of this, this is probably the best thing that I can share to everybody that's not necessarily in this day-to-day in the weeds. This is a first 4 days before and after of this test. So the first 4 days of shutting off the Advantage Plus, shutting off the non-excluded audiences, basically turning this from a kind of warm to an all cold. What you'll see here is the blended CAC went from a 91 down to a 60. The new customer ROAS went from an average of 1.2 to 1.35. My new customers went from an average of 3.5 a day or 14 up to 18. My new customer sales went from 876 up to 1370. And my profit per new customer went from negative 257 to negative 117 because we're heading in the right direction. Our LTV is fantastic. We have a 60% return customer rate per month on a cohort. So I can afford, but now it's spending a lot less. The only area is after changing this meta, which is the only actual channel that we're marketing right now, the only thing that actually happened that was bad, repeat customer sales, $4,500 down to $2,992. This was off of just an email campaign that happened the day before. That's the only reason why this thing kind of went down is because we had a really good email sale that blasted through a bunch of return customers that didn't come next week.
Great.
But the new customers where we're actually attributing them, just by excluding everybody and going pure cold, just having our CAC go from 91 down to 60 in first 4 days, what was it, like a 40% decrease in our CAC just by structurally changing the audiences that we were going after? And this is happening on every channel, like for all clients. It's amazing.
And you know you're going to get them again because this is 60. What did you say? It's a 60% return rate?
Yeah, that's what's nice is we've been taking this mantra for a little while and we've kind of changed this company around a little bit. We did a whole bunch of changes in Meta, but if we look at like the last 30 days as an example, out of 393 orders, it's 62.3% return customer rate.
Yeah.
This company, we acquired it and it was an SEO only company for years. So not big push for new customers. So it just grew organically for years. And so that's why if I spend a dollar on these people, I will have them return all the time. That's why we can afford to kind of lose on that CAC a bit, our actual purchase. If we can get to a zero CAC where it's break even, now it's just how many free customers do you want? That's at scale and that's what we're moving towards.
Right, right. And the lifetime value of something like that is like,
oh yeah.
Have you been able to measure that and serve a longer term timeline?
Yeah, we have $240 of 12-month LTV. So $240 lifetime value for each one of these customers. So if we're buying, we went from buying them at 240, now down to 112. That's the CAC change of this last kind of 4 days. But if we look at our top line metrics, because that's just attributed CAC from only spend that happened on Meta. But if we look at our lifetimely as an example, this is where that change took place. We started the Beef Cheek campaign here. This was on the day before, the 25th. That's when we started here. So we look at the 25th. Again, it's not going to be probably the best and perfect. Now our profit's up 2,100%. So yeah, we basically, our sales are up 353, our marketing costs are up 411, at least that profit at 506, because this is, again, really high COGS. You can see the COGS are up 336. They're a really low AOV, really low margin product. But if I can have a net profit of 506 and our blended CAC be 45, 34, bad day here, but 50, 57, 58, 80, our return customer sales every day is like $600 to $1,000 a day. Now we're a little bit, sometimes over $1,000.
Good. And that should just be growing over time.
That will continually grow. If I can wake up and have $2,000 a day, that's over $700,000 in basically sales a year that I don't have to get out of bed for now.
Yeah. Because you've done your job on the front end because you figured out the math. And we're also looking at Lifetimely, which is another great, I wouldn't even say it's an app per se, but it's like a dashboard literally that shows all this.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Check this out here. This is where businesses need to measure and stop measuring in app ROAS. My net profit on the 29th was $240 because I had a 1.4 new customer ROAS, which people are like, oh no, I need 300% ROAS.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the wrong thing. Yeah. I had a 1.4 new customer ROAS. I had five new customers. I lost $24 on every one of those new customers that day, but then made $1,300 in repeat sales, which I don't have to try for anymore. And then my contribution margin that day was $240. Excellent. So measuring what can I afford? How many of them can I afford? How many can I scale? We're still losing a couple bucks per new customer on top line, which is okay. That's what we're moving towards, is putting all of our ad spend towards new customers and then refining that. But there comes a day where it's like a dollar net profit per new customer. We hit 100K in spend. We're just cranking this thing up because that is just going to grow and grow and grow.
And I love this case study because this isn't like, oh my God, it's 1,000% increase in 2 days. It's like, this is a gradual process. And I think it's important for businesses to look at this and say, the ad platforms are not an ATM. You don't put the card in and just say, hey, how much money do I want that day? It's an investment into the future. And I think that's a hard thing for people to wrap their head around, especially if you've got new entrepreneurs with new businesses that have never done this before. They realize that marketing is an investment, and it's something that you have to, I guess I have to quote Cossum here because this is the analogy that I'm getting at. Like, everyone stops planting corn. All they want is the popcorn in the bag at the grocery store. Eat the smart food because it's delicious, but nobody wants to plant the corn. Like, this is what you need to do. You need to plant the corn along the way in order to get the corn and then pop the corn and turn it into popcorn. The point is, it's like, that's what you're doing. And a lot of businesses have a challenge with this. When you're working with a client and they don't quite see it that way, we're talking, this is one that they see it, they get it. Reputation alone, maybe it's because you're John Moran and like, you know, I'll just do whatever this guy says because I know he's freaking smart. But to the listener that's out there that's maybe struggling with this, what kind of recommendations would you have to get a client, or, you know, if you are in business, you have to convince your partners of this. Like, maybe you're the director of marketing, you have to convince your CEO this. Like, what do you do to take them down that path?
First thing I would say is, this is going to be some pretty crazy talk, but it's true. If you're a business owner or a client, task all of the people that are working with you inside of your business or as a vendor. When we're talking about marketing, for example, only measure business health. Never measure a report. If I was a business owner and I had a vendor saying, here's my report on my paid channel, I would throw it away. I would. It's useless. Because what I would say is, if the agencies that are involved, if they're separate or an agency that is holistic, if they are not being measured by your business performance, your business health, nothing else matters. The company that Bully Stick Central Company, this is a company that was acquired last year. And you can see, I'm screen sharing right now the back end of the Shopify. Mm-hmm. And in the last 365 days, I think it was actually purchased in March. So give or take here a few weeks off. Yeah. But we have a 44% business growth, a total orders up 34%. The average order value went up 9%. And our return customer rate is still at 41%. It's only down 6. But it means that we actually have more new customers. Perfect. But they are not wavering. So this is really good business health. If this trend continues with a 44% business growth and a 158% increase in subscriptions, great. You win. Keep going. Good job. Yippee skippy. Did we lose any money? No, we're actually slightly more profitable during this 44% year-over-year scale. Mm. All right. I'll see you next year. That's how this should work. Or in a large client, this is a client that is scaled massively.
Oh, we're looking at Northbeam here, if you're not on the YouTube channel.
I'll explain that one.
Yeah, okay. just trying to navigate.
This is a company that scaled massively from March 1st, 2023 to March 1st, 2024. And inside of Northbeam, which is we're using as a total metric tool, just looking at all cash in, all cash out, top line business health, what I only measure, and I'll share this to the people that are not seeing the screen, the only thing that I measure is total spend across all channels all year and total top line growth, regardless of channel, all year. What this means is that if I spend $142,000 in paid media over this, if I spend 142% more in paid media in 1 year, I should see something close to that in my total revenue. And it's up 129.3%. So that means we actually put about $20 million in ad spend last year and made about $80 million more in revenue, because that number is $43 million spend, which is up 142%, and $153 million, which is up 130%. Good. So you're scaling well. And then what is my media efficiency ratio? My company's ROAS, if you want to use it that, but it's my company's cash in, cash out. For that scale of $20 million, or actually probably $25 million, the media efficiency ratio only went down 5.4%. So what is 5.4% of a 3.5. What is it? I don't know. But basically, yeah, it was like went from 3.6 down to 3.54.
Yeah, 3.6.
So my business health stayed the same.
You are pretty good during at math, by the way. Massive scale. That was pretty good. That was quick math right there.
I'm kind of winging it. So I get pretty close.
No calculator needed. Yeah.
Right. And my costs per acquired first time customer only went up 9% of $6.91. So it's about 60 cents. Good. What individual channels measure and grew and doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Completely doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
That's a case in point right there of this whole thing coming together at a massive scale.
Yeah.
And it's just a shift in mindset.
Exactly. Because if Google is just going after brand, they couldn't scale. That's pretty much it.
There were all kinds of levers that you had to press in that big X that we just showed in the screen share.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a year's worth of daily work and grinding and really doing it. But as an agency or as an owner, you should only be measuring your business. That's it. Because if your business is failing, no report's going to tell you you're crazy.
Yeah. Channel reports, toss them in the trash.
Right. I mean, think about it.
Really?
Channel reports don't matter if your business is failing. Who's going to pat themselves on the back?
Well, the agency might. We see that all the time. Or your internal team. Let's not just bash agencies here. I mean, there are internal teams where...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know this. It's like you work with internal teams that hit maybe like, you know, are doing the Facebook side of the equation and you're doing the Google side. And we deal with this all the time. It's like you have to be able to navigate through it. It's more challenging that way because they're also trying to keep their jobs. They're trying to maintain favoritism with the boss that I'm doing my work and I'm doing my job and I'm substantiating my existence. But even if the business is going down, the boss is the one that's catching hell from the CEO. All shit rolls downhill anyway. So
everyone just needs to get on the same boat, really. Yeah. That's the thing, is it forces internal team members. It forces one agency. It forces all of the agencies. Everyone has to communicate and work together. The bad agencies will be like, well, we did our job. It was Meta that failed. Or Meta agencies like, well, we did our job, but then Google took all the credit. Then those are not people that can work together. If you have two agencies that are in their own boxing corners, getting ready for the fight, about ready to kind of come out swinging at each other, the company loses.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's true. Well, this has been amazing. And I know we've talked our way through probably two episodes here. So this will be a two-parter. But, you know, obviously, we'll have you on many, many, many more times here on Perpetual Traffic because it is such a trip. And this is the reason, like, this conversation is the conversation I've been wanting to have on this show for probably 5 years. So, and in large part because now we are together and working with you has been a fucking dream. And my team is so excited. They're like beyond excited. And it's because of this. It's not just because, oh, it's like John Moran's finally on our team. It's like this type of thing that we just talked about here is next level. This is where our space is going. This is where we see collectively, you and I, as well as, you know, everyone on the leadership team, which you'll have the chance to meet out in Denver, like in a week or so, which is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm excited.
Is like, this is our mission to do this. Like, this feels good. When you can actually sit and grow a business and help them achieve their goals, and especially if it's a purpose-driven business where they're really doing good stuff, there's nothing better. When we first met about this whole idea, we just want to grow businesses. I'm like, that's all we want to do. I don't know why that's what we want to do, but that's what we want to do. And it's the most fun thing in the world. So this has been a trip having you on here today. And obviously, pretty excited to have you alongside Tier 11. So John will be back. It's not just because Cosm's away down in Argentina. I think he's just he's just going down there to catch a tan. He's not like working or anything.
He's got a year-round tan, so I don't know what he's doing down there. So
he's getting even darker. Yeah, he's going to cut his hair. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come back.
He's going to try even more taller, darker, and handsomer. Taller, I guess
that's taller and darker. Is that possible? Oh my god! Excellent. This has been great. And if you have not gone over to our Telegram channel, we're going to try and coerce John to join it. But perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. I'm looking at Telegram right now. There's all kinds of stuff going on here, which is really cool. And so our way of keeping in touch with you, the Perpetual Traffic listener, and getting real-time feedback, creating a community. We often talk about creating a community as a way to build a business. And all right, we're eating our own dog food here to a certain degree, but it's also, it's great to have the listeners like yourself in there talking about and commenting on things that we discuss here on the show and getting sort of the behind the scenes stuff on top of that. So definitely check out our Telegram and make sure that you do. If you were not, maybe you were in the car listening, go back and watch this episode, probably two episodes together. We're going to do a two-parter here on our YouTube channel, which is perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. And of course, all the resources and show notes for the entire show are going to be over at perpetualtraffic.com. Make sure that you follow me over on LinkedIn and Qasim on his socials. We'll give him a shout out at Qasim Aslam on socials. I haven't even asked you. Every once in a while, like, you comment on LinkedIn and there's like 10,000 comments. Where are you doing a social thing right now? We haven't even talked about this much.
I usually am on LinkedIn. My posts, I really try to make them extremely purpose-driven and impactful and actionable. So a lot of times it'll take a few weeks worth of development of something, and then I'll share it on LinkedIn. I don't like the thing where it's like, comment like if you hate Google Ads on Monday. I just try to deliver strategic, actionable items for people to consume. I'm not very social on social media. I only have a LinkedIn. That's it. I don't even own a personal Meta account. But yeah, LinkedIn is...
I love that about you.
Yeah, I like it. It's easier. I'm kind of all business all the time.
Yeah, I love LinkedIn. Yeah, I think LinkedIn's great. Yeah, I think it's totally underutilized. And it's also, from a business perspective, chances are it's probably where our ideal customer hangs out. So we try and narrow our focus there. We've talked about that many, many times here on the show. So, but definitely check out John when and if. We'll try and get him to post more, but John does what John does. Yeah. So, like I said, super psyched to have you on the show here today. Go over to perpetualtraffic.com. We're going to leave a lot of resources there, as we do for every show we do here. And join that Telegram channel. Love to learn a little bit more about you and give some feedback on maybe future shows. So, on behalf of my awesome now coworker, John Moran. Until next show, see ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic.